No, the Lord said his name would be John. So in his mouth, and at that point, see, it was at that point that it was manifested that he believed. Zacharias, having not believed the angel previously, he was made dumb, and that would be the sign that these things would come to pass. And at that test about, wouldn't he be tempted to name the boy after himself? Sure he would. But he said, he wrote, his name is John, they marveled all, and his mouth, verse 64, was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Right then, his unbelief had been turned into faith, and he believed what God said, and he honored the Lord and what the angel had told him to do, and he said, and he wrote, the boy's name will be and is John. And immediately he spake and praised God. And now they're saying, wow, now he's talking again. You reckon he had a lot to say? He did. Fear, verse 65, came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him, with John. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Visitation of the Lord. Zacharias is speaking to this from the standpoint of being an Israelite, being one there of the Lord's nation, being one there on the receiving end of being a member of the nation, being a Jew, on the receiving end of those prophecies given to the nation. But you know, those prophecies given to the nation are indeed prophecies that are a blessing to us, because it's by the Lord's Redeemer that we are saved too, even though we have nothing to do with the nation. A visitation. He hath visited and redeemed his people. Isn't that what the Lord has done to us in saving us? Has he not visited us? I like that word. Over the past several years, I've used that word more. Because see, that's what you need, sinner. You need a visitation from the Lord. Visitation by his word. Visitation by the Spirit. For you to be redeemed, you need to hear and believe what the Lord is saying. Is the Lord speaking to you? Any good thing about the condition of your soul? About the eternity that you will spend in hell without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Any revelation from the Word of God about Jesus Christ coming and living and dying and being buried and risen again for the salvation of sinners? Those things don't come from Satan. Those things don't come from the world. That's the Word of God. And that's the message to sinners. We that are saved, don't we rejoice in that the Lord has visited us? It wasn't that he was visiting me and somebody else and we together enjoyed that visit, but the Lord visited us individually, didn't he? A visitation so personal, a visitation so intimate, no one else has a part in it. He has visited and redeemed his people. Redemption, being bought back from that slave market of sin, that to be redeemed, and the Lord has done so, and he's manifested it in sending this great prophet before the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 69, and it raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. They knew that Mary, being of the lineage of David, of the tribe of Judah, they knew that Joseph, being the Lord's stepfather, being of the tribe of Judah, of the lineage of David, they knew that the Lord had answered that in Jesus Christ. They knew that. And they knew it from the standpoint of 3 months before the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's prophet had been born, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And this father, Zacharias, this man, oh, he's filled and blessed with this blessing, the Spirit of the Lord. And he praises the Lord that he's raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. It looked like there was no hope. of all the lineage of David, of all the tribe of Judah, as they looked out on the scene, who would be a Savior? Who would be a Redeemer? But here the Lord's raising up a horn. There's one that stands out above all others, and he is coming, and his prophet is at hand. Verse number 70, and as he spake, he's referring here, verse 69, he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, God's word is being fulfilled. The prophecy is being fulfilled right before us, which have been since the world began. I find that interesting. Since the world began. Who's he talking about? The prophet, even at the beginning of the world? Who was that prophet? Was it Adam? Was it Abel? Abel's sacrifice was the sacrifice that the Lord had commanded, wasn't it? Abel testified in his obedience to the Lord that Jesus Christ was coming. All the way back, the prophecy has been, and now, it's coming to pass. Now the Lord is fully revealing his redemption and his salvation for his people. Raised up a horn of salvation. They spoke by the prophets, which have been since the world began. There's always been a testimony that the Lord would save his way. And that we should be saved from our enemies, verse 71. Who are our enemies? Satan's our enemy, isn't he? He is the author of lies, of sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ said he's a murderer from the beginning. What was it that the Lord told Adam and said, in the day that you eat of the fruit, thou shalt surely die? Satan knew that. And he as much as murdered Adam by bringing that temptation before him. Adam was guilty. Adam is responsible. And we have inherited that responsibility from our federal head, from Adam, in ourselves. But Satan is indeed our enemy. He's been our enemy from the beginning. But what else is our enemy? Well, sin. That which Satan authored, sin, is our enemy. And the Lord saves sinners from Satan. He saves sinners from sin. And then as we've seen recently and know from the Scriptures, what does sin bring? Sin always brings death. Death is our enemy. And praise God, we've even looked recently where the Lord Jesus Christ has defeated that last enemy, which is death, the Scripture says. Zechariah prophesies that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Of course, there's relevance here to the hatred of the nation of Israel and how that's going to be manifested totally and completely in the last times. And the Lord will deliver them and will deliver his people from all that hate us. You know, when we leave this life, in this life, we can be touched. It's all in the control of the Lord. But in this life, we can be touched by the finger, by the hand of Satan, can't we? Job was. The Lord allowed it. But I tell you what, when we're out of this life and when we're there in glory with the Lord, there'll not be one thing that can harm us or touch us then. We will be delivered, won't we? And we are delivered now, except for this old flesh. But we will be completely delivered from all that hate us. Though the inhabitants of the world shake their fist and curse our God from this earth. It's coming. It's coming soon. We will be delivered from all that hate us. Verse 72, to perform the mercy, the compassion, the kindness promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant. What is it? What is the covenant of the Lord? What is the mercy of the Lord? Is that He saves sinners. That He's got a salvation that He brings, that He saves with, and it's not dependent on you and me. That we're kept by Him. We're kept by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal life and no so hope of living forever. We presently possess it and we will experience it when we get those new bodies. And it is all there kept by Christ. You and I We don't keep up any end of the bargain, do we? We've been visited by the Lord. We've been saved by Him. And he said, Zacharias is prophesying, the Lord is bringing it to pass. To perform the mercy, the compassion promised to our fathers, that the Lord would say, what were the fathers in that first covenant, in that Old Testament, what was found to be the case? They could not keep it. We can't keep it. We can't keep the law. But yet the Lord is compassionate towards us, isn't He? And He provided one that did keep it for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. The oath, verse number 73, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham. Hebrews speaks of this, I believe, by two immutable things. The Lord says, by blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. Isn't that what the Lord's done for us in saving us? Has He not blessed us? That word blessed, it speaks about being touched by the Lord. It speaks about joy in the Lord and what He's done for us. And in multiplying the child of God, we're paupers in and of ourselves. We are without hope, without help, without excuse. We are just empty, full of sin. And the Lord visits us and reveals to us Christ and shines the light in us and saves us. And we are multiplied and multiplied and blessed and blessed and blessed, ongoing and exceeding, aren't we? To the oath which He swore to our father Abraham. Abraham, the father of faith. He's not our father in the flesh, but He is the father of faith. And the oath that He swore to Abraham that He would bring of his lineage a Savior, the Lord has fulfilled. That He would grant, verse 74, unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, those that hate us, might serve Him without fear. You know, we can serve the Lord without fear now, even though the world would just assail us and rage and carry on. But one day, we will serve Him indeed without fear because of Jesus Christ, because of His promise, what He's done. Serve Him without fear, verse 75, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. What kind of life do we have? Everlasting life, don't we? Day after day after day. But there'll be no sunset in that eternal day, will there? And we'll be able to serve the Lord in peace, without fear, in holiness and righteousness, not being touched, not even be threatened, not being tempted by sin at all. Wow. And Zacharias prophesies and sees this and is blessed this of the Lord and tells in this, in holiness, serve Him delivered from the hand of our enemies, that we might serve Him without fear and holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Verse 76, and thou child, thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest. The Lord Jesus Christ said that there was no greater prophet than John. And boy, there's been some great prophets, haven't there? Moses, Elijah, Elisha, great prophets indeed. Great prophets, Isaiah, great prophets indeed. And prophets that the Lord even worked miracles through, John the Baptist. John Baptist was the greatest prophet of them all. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. His prophet right there on the scene as the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene. Wow, what a blessing. And the Lord ordained that John would be the man. He would be that one sent as one that had never been sent before to baptize believers. To give that token. To give that and bring that ordinance that we have in the church that sinners that are saved and declare such before the Lord and before the church and before the world, they submit to baptism that shows that they are dead to self, sin, and the world, and alive in Christ. Because Jesus died They died with Him. The sinner identifies with Christ. And because the Lord rose from the dead, they are alive in Christ. We are alive in Christ. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to the people by the remission of their sins. By remission. This word remission speaks of freedom, speaks of pardons, I believe speaks of payment. John came preaching that by Jesus Christ, not by the law, not by sacrifice that men could offer, but by the sacrifice of God. Remember what it says, the Scripture says, behold, John said when he saw Jesus coming, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. He said, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people. That's who the Lord saves. And we need to be telling that gospel. We need to be sowing that seed and spreading that word. And that sinners are saved by the remission of their sins. Jesus pays. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen? It's by the remission of their sins. All were born with a nature bent to sin. And there is a debate amongst some that some would say, it says, we're not sinners because we commit sins, but we're sinners naturally. I might have a little bit different take on that. Our nature is such that we, when we hit the air and born as babes into this world, we're going to sin. We're going to do it. And I needed a Savior that could wash away my sins. You watch that. That's a good study in the Scripture. I needed Him to wash away my sin. He's changed my nature. He didn't die for my nature. We're not called to repent of our nature. We're called to repent of our transgression. The sacrifices were given for the transgressions of the people. The Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed for the transgressions of His people. He said, for our sins, by the remission of their sins, the payment for their sins. It says here, through the tender mercy of our God. That word mercy speaks of compassion. And that word tender mercy reinforces it and backs it up. You know what that word tender means? That word tender in the Greek means spleen. How does that make sense? How does that? Well, see, in that day, they didn't understand necessarily about the brain and how the brain is you know, where that of our body is all driven. We speak about the heart, but it's not your blood pumping muscle that has emotion or feels anything, or it's not in your blood pumping muscle that where your soul is contained. It's in here somewhere, and how we are made. We're made body and then soul and spirit. That's within somewhere, but then this old body dies, but the soul's still alive, isn't it? Okay? And they understood this to be, have you ever been, some good news comes and you're excited? Where do you feel that? You feel that in your body. Bad news comes along, or something that's very, very dreadful, or that maybe even gets sick at your stomach. Remember, see how that is? Get an upset stomach. It's from the body, the tender mercy. The Lord has had inward affection and compassion for His people. Oh, the love wherewith He has loved His people is from everlasting. From everlasting, through the tender mercy, the tender compassion of our God. Whereby, by that mercy, by that tender mercy, whereby the day sprang. The light. The dawning of the light. When the Lord visited you, child of God, and showed you your sin, showed you your need, showed you deserve hell, and showed you that Christ was the only answer. And you cried out, oh Lord, save me. And He saved you somehow, some way by His miraculous power, and saved you and gave you assurance of it. and rest and peace. The day spring from on high has visited you, had visited me. That day spring, we don't need an Arab spring. We don't need an intellectual spring. We don't need an economic spring. Spring sinners need the day spring. The light shone within them of the Lord. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Sinner, if you're here without Christ, do you see yourself as a sinner? Do you believe, as God knows and has conveyed to you and showed you in His Word, that you are a sinner? You need to be saved. And Christ is the only way. Christ is the only way. He says here, through the tender mercy of our God, that tender inward affection and compassion towards His people, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness. You know, that's what the broad way is. On the broad way, you can do whatever you want to do. On the broad way, you can sit there, you can lay there, you can wallow around there, you can go in circles in the broad way. And you know what? That broad way is all leading to hell. Give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Death, eternal death, the second death for one without Christ as Savior is certainly coming. And that's where you that are here without Christ sit. But the Lord sent His Son. The Lord sent His Son to give light, to bring salvation, to bring redemption of sins to those that sat in this way. This is where we were. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Listen to this. To guide our feet in the way of peace. When I think of that, I kind of think of the Lord grabbing a hold of my feet and stepping them in the right way. Amen? Stepping them on the narrow way that is Christ. The way of peace. Peace with one another. Peace with the world. How about peace with God? That's what we need, is peace with God. Amen? Peace with Him. Being brought from an alien to being brought a child on that narrow way of peace, which is Christ. The broad way. The narrow way, light shining by the day spring towards sinners. You need a Savior? Are you a sinner? You need a Savior? Christ is the only way. In Matthew chapter 4, let's take a look over here. Matthew chapter 4. Just in line with what this last verse, the last verse that we read in 79, where it says here to give light. Let me just read that whole sentence or part of it. To give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That is, by Jesus Christ. We see a parallel scripture here in Matthew chapter 4 telling about an Old Testament passage that had been brought, that Matthew had been brought to understand was being accomplished and being fulfilled here in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, He departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Listen, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Wouldn't they see great light? When did the day spring rise up in their hearts? The day spring from on high hath visited us. When was it? When they saw Jesus. Not just seeing Him with the eye, but seeing Him as Savior. Seeing Him as Redeemer. Seeing Him as the Lamb sacrificed for them. The Scripture it was fulfilled at this time. And you know what? The Scripture is fulfilled every time a sinner is saved. The light is seen. The light shines. There's a visitation. That it might be fulfilled, verse 14, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up in Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The prophecy of Zechariah. Tell you what, I'm thwarted in that I can't relay it as well as what I receive it from the Lord. It's a blessing. This man rejoiced. He rejoiced in the Lord's touch upon him and upon his wife and using him to send the prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one that was right up there against him, the greatest prophet that ever was. And he rejoiced in seeing the great salvation of the Lord, and that day spring from on high had shone in his heart, hadn't it? He saw the salvation of the Lord. He was saved by the Lord and blessed by the Lord in it. He rejoiced greatly in it. May we as his children, may we rejoice what the Lord's done for us. May we thank the Lord for what he has done for us. And for sinners, you that are here without Christ, you that are here that are not saved, we point you to him. Once again, we point you to him. Jesus Christ is the Savior you need. He's the only forgiver of sins. He's the only one that's a sacrifice that can wash your sins away. And it's not by what you can do, but it's by simple faith in him. And what he's done will take care of your sin. And what he's promised will take care of your every need. That what he's done and what he's promised and who he is the only thing that can save your soul.